Yeah.
Okay. Where was I?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It's great having church two times this week. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor and miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit this morning we are going to chant. It is a different tone. It should, I think, will be easier. My last note is your first note, and then your last two notes are the same note. And let's go ahead if you would.
And all the nations shall see the salvation of
Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for this morning, the first Sunday after Christmas, is taken from Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and a garden causes what is sown in it to be sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the land of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Beginning with verse 22. time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was a righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
pretty sure it was last year, so that would have been my first Christmas with y'all. Mm-hmm. I don't recall whether it was actually on Christmas Day or after that. I asked the question, how long does Christmas go until? And some said 12th night, right? Because the 15th starts on the 6th of January. That's the beginning, we say, of Epiphany. But we don't tend to carry it on beyond that. But I also mentioned, though, if you may or may not recall, that actually February 2nd is the end of the season of Christmas. And that is because it was 40 days after Jesus was born that Mary and the baby Jesus were taken to the temple. The reading we heard today is normally that which is read, and it will be in some places, mostly in Catholic churches, because they'll have a service on the 2nd. Now, last year we were actually fortunate, not fortunate, but you know how the calendar works. The 2nd actually fell on a Sunday. But this year it won't. I believe it's on a Tuesday, and the readings are completely different because it's not like like some of the festivals we do that fall during the week. We try and have the readings for that festival on Sunday. So that's a long period. And why I'm bringing this up is I'm just curious why the presentation of the Lord is brought into the first Sunday after Christmas. And I'm not expecting an answer from anyone in here, but it's just that thing that just kind of struck me. I'm going, wow, this event doesn't even take place till 40 days after Jesus' birth. The next thing that we usually find that we are looking to is January 1st, when really the church doesn't celebrate the new year or the end of the previous year. So that would seem like an oxymoron to celebrate the end of this year. But,
God did something we want to celebrate.
Other than maybe we got through it. we in the church would be looking to the naming of Jesus that they would be looked at. That way. So we kind of follow along some events like the 8th, the circumcision of Jesus, because every male child was circumcised on the 8th after the 8th day after their birth. And then we move on into some other reading, perhaps, but not generally this one, but it is in our lectionary, it is a pointed reading for today. It just seems out of sequence. But that's okay because Christmas season is kind of a confusing season when it comes to the readings. and that's why February 2nd is still part of Christmas, even though it's beyond Christmas. It's in Epiphany. And the thing is that everything after that event, we start seeing a increase, at least in the move towards Lent. We're getting real close to Lent because then there's going to be the reading of the Transfiguration coming. And then Ash Wednesday, it's going to be early this year. That whole beginning of Lent. I believe actually Transfiguration is February 14th of all days. Valentine's Day, right? But Jesus gives his heart. Well, that makes a good place, right? That's translated. So anyway, back to this, and why I'm bringing this up kind of gets into the epistle reading a little bit in terms of what it says about Jesus. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir to God. But the thing is that Jesus is born, even though He is the Son of God, He has always been. God is not above His own law. His law is that which is holy, righteous, and good, and pure. Jesus, though, comes to stand in our place and fulfill that which we were unable to do, the law of God. So He comes and He is under the law, not above the law, but under the law for a reason. Not that in this case that the law demonstrates God's holiness, righteousness, purity, but so that He could carry our sins onto the cross with Him, and there the wrath of God be poured out on those sins of ours, on Him, so that He would die. But He has to be under the law in order to fulfill the law. Yeah? Because we didn't do it. We weren't able to do it. We're still not able to do it. We are under the law, and the law says do this, or don't do this, or that. Right? But we don't do the law so well. We're not good keepers of God's law. We already messed up on the first three. How could we possibly do better on the rest of them? If we can't love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, how can we love our neighbors as ourselves? Indeed, I would even question that we even love ourselves if we don't first love God. And we cannot first love God until we know the love of God. Because God is love. John says that. God is love. Once we have been filled with the love of God, indeed, we can love ourselves and love others as ourselves. And when I say we don't, without God, we cannot love ourselves, is because we will allow all kinds of abuse to happen to ourselves. I mean, self-imposed abuse. That's not loving oneself. That's not taking care of God's creation, being good stewards of our own bodies. But without God, we do reckless things with our life. Maybe part of that is because of youthfulness. And we think we will live forever, and we're willing to do things that may be indeed harmful in the long run. People may say, well, it's my body. I can do with it what I want. Who are you to judge me? And so you have people becoming addicted to drugs. And yet their body may handle it initially, and they may initially actually get enjoyment from it. That's why they do it. But there will come a time that the body will no longer feel enjoyment from those drugs or from alcohol or anything else that one is addicted to. Instead, one suddenly discovers that instead of it being a joyful thing, they have become a slave unto that thing. That's what we do to ourselves. How can one describe that as loving oneself? We are self-absorbed. We think of others perhaps as only stepping stones to something greater in our own lives. Perhaps if they maybe have some similarities with me, or you might think this, if this person has similarities with me, then they may be of
be a good friend. I may need a good friend along the way, but not really a sense of altruism. We don't love ourselves by nature. But God loves us. God loves us so much He gave His Son to die for us. God loves us so much He gives us His Spirit so that instead of being slaves to sin, we are His children. He gives us His Spirit that calls out Abba Father on our behalf. Because St. Paul tells us we are now sons of God. We know God's love. We know what love truly is. And so we are indeed equipped to love one another, because we also now know how to love ourselves. We even realize how important these bodies are to God. God is not ashamed of His creation, but His creation became ashamed. So God took care of the problem. We hear about it in the beginning book of Genesis. And He has always continued to take care of our problems because He loves us. He gives His blessing upon the good and the evil. The sun shines on us both. The crops that grow are for both. God doesn't look out into the world and say, I'm only doing this for the good. I'm doing it for the whole world. That's what we learn from Scripture about God. God is love. God desires everyone to live, and so He sends His Son again to die for our sins, not just the good, well, at least those who we might measure as being good based on the things they've done. But God doesn't do it that way. He sends His Son to die for the whole world, the good and the bad. Because truly, what we would consider good is not good to God. There's only one that is good, and that is God. Jesus said that. Why do you call me good? There's only one that is good. Look for Jesus' words. Because the one who called Him good master was only giving human flattery. He had no real intent to praise God, nor did he see Jesus as being the Son of God. So the question really is, you call me good, but you don't even know what you're talking about. But we do. We do know. Because God has revealed His Son to us. He has revealed His Son to us. And we have beheld Him, maybe just through the preaching of the Word. But we do behold Him. Whenever we come here and receive the sacrament, we behold Him in the bread and wine. We get to touch our Lord's body. We get to taste our Lord's blood. Though we taste it in a mysterious way, truly, but it's still there. God says one of the things I always love, taste and see that the Lord is good. I always think about that, taking communion pretty much, because truly He is good. Taste and see. Taste and see. So we do. We put the bread in our mouths. We put the wine in our mouths. We taste and we see. We see our Savior who died for us on the tree, who was put to death for our sins, became a curse for us. We know the love of God. We know how deep His love is, that He did not spare His only, one and only true Son.
say true son, because St. Paul says we too are now sons of God. All of us, men and women, boys and girls, we're all sons of God now. And we bear His Spirit. We know God's love. We can even sing the Song of Simeon. Isn't that wonderful? We do sing the Song of Simeon when we commune. Why? Because our eyes have beheld the Lord, right? I remember a long time ago, I was sitting, I think I still might have been in high school, but I'm watching one of the movies back in the early 70s, one of the newer ones, I guess. It might have been one of the TV ones about Jesus. And it's kind of funny because you and I, we've grown up singing the Song of Simeon in our liturgy. We know it. And so there comes this point in the movie and you got the Song of Simeon starting to be sad by Simeon. And I repeat it word for word because they're doing it out of what we had in catechism when I was a kid, which would have been King James, you know. So I'm repeating it. I'm saying, and my friend was saying, how do you know that? How do you know those? Like, do you write this? I said, well, we sing it in my church, you know, every time. I don't think I told him when we asked me. I just said, we sing it in our church all the time. Because it's such a beautiful song. It is God's promise. And we too have seen the same thing in a lot of ways that Simeon did. But Simeon saw it in an instant. Not a lone Jesus like John the Baptist did, who said, you know, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. No, he takes the infant in his arms and he sings this wonderful song of Simeon. And we repeat it too, because we too hold the body, the life of our Lord in our hands when we commune. So we can sing after we depart from having communion. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. We sing that song. Simeon was promised. You will see the Lord. You will see the promised one, really. You will see him. Doesn't say when he'll see him, but you will see him before you die. And so he waits and he waits and he waits. Talk about your Advent waiting. He waited a long time. Not to mention the prophetess that was there. She was married 7 years. And then after he died, she remained widowed. And all that time, she spent in the temple waiting for the consolation of Israel. To behold what Simeon beheld. We know the love of God. And we love ourselves because of God. We know how much value God places in each one of us. The difference we have between those who don't love themselves because they are captive to sin, the difference between us is we honor God's creation. We acknowledge God as our creator and our redeemer. Those who are captive to sin do not know this freedom that we have in Christ. But it's for them as well. It is for them, just as it is for us. Some of us may not have always believed in the sense that you were raised from infancy up to an adult. Perhaps you came into the faith as an adult, perhaps as a teenager. But at whatever point you became this believer is the point you really start to understand what it is to love yourself. And not to dishonor God's creation that is your body. We instead acknowledge we are created in the image of God.
that infant Jesus was pure and holy, we sing, and truly, he is. He is pure and holy. But we acknowledge we have been made this way also. Not just according to the Spirit, but according to the flesh. For in Christ's death and resurrection, he has sanctified the flesh. So we are to honor the Lord with our bodies, to glorify him, to make our lives a life of praise, a life of thanksgiving, so that others may see the goodness of our Heavenly Father and how he has blessed us and continues to do so in all circumstances. Yes, Simeon's song is early this year as far as the church calendar goes. We're not having to wait 40 days to hear it. Indeed, we don't wait that long ever to hear Simeon's song. But according to the readings, this year, we have it early. And so we give God thanks for our Savior's birth that we just celebrated 2 days ago. Just 2 days ago. I kept thinking yesterday was Monday. And yet I knew it wasn't. But we have much to be thankful for in this season of Christmas. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
And tempest from all calamity by fire and water,
and of everlasting death.
Good Lord,
by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you.
To hear us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you. To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word and with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
We give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our youth the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord God, we lift up those who have requested prayers for healing and strength. We remember this day Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galvia, Peggy Sissenberger, Larry Foltz, Alfred Gerson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilfred Defoe, Norma James, and the family of Shirley Powell. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, giver and perfecter of our faith, we thank and praise you for continuing among us the preaching of your gospel for our instruction and edification. Send your blessing upon the word which has been spoken to us, and by your Holy Spirit increase our saving knowledge of you, that day by day we may be strengthened in the divine truth and remain steadfast in your grace. Give us strength to fight the good fight, and by faith to overcome all the temptations of Satan, the flesh, and the world, so that we may finally receive the salvation of our souls. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive your benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Are there any announcements? Does anyone have anything?
Happy birthday this week to Pastor Rod.
I have a couple of things. The retreat at in Victoria has been canceled. I just got an email for that. There wasn't enough participation. So next year they're planning. They reserved the place in Victoria again, and plans are the same. Coastal Bend will host it, because we're not going to have it this next year. And also, I just want to remind everyone, I did hear back from Christy again, and instead of the sandwiches, they have two relishes that are going to be making a meal for Tuesday. So they're still taking care of the meal. We're still doing the tea, coffee, and dessert. So nothing has changed with us. So if you bring your desserts, they're expecting 40, possibly 50, but she's taking more like 40 people. So just want to remind people who are here, and I've already called people on the phone, too. So if you're bringing a dessert, the service is at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Pastor will be leading service for that. And then they will have a lunch afterwards. So they're thinking 11 o'clock.
Will the church be open a little earlier for bringing that dessert over here?
I'm planning to be here at 8:30 to start getting things ready. So, yeah, that's early. That's enough, yeah. So, yes, it will be to bring it. And I bought plates, and we have cups and everything we need. So, and we have tea, and we have enough coffee. So we're good there. So we just I need to check it. Got to check that, and we'll see if we need to get some new ice. Because I can always go to Bunkie. That's like $1.49 for 20 pounds. So we'll check and see how good the ice is. Because if it's been there a long time, we don't want to use it. Anyway, I think that's it. And Peggy's home. She was coming home. Well, yeah, she was coming home Christmas Eve. She texted me. And so, yeah. But she's home. And I think other than that, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
That's enough.
All right, just to share with you, I received this letter back in November. It was from Carol's church. It's written here, Pastor Hooper, on behalf of the friends and neighbors in the Wallace and Orchard area of whom we serve, the Guardian Angel Catholic Church, St. Vincent de Paul Society, we'd like to express our sincere thanks and appreciation to you and your congregation at St. Paul's Lutheran Church for the generous contribution of food goods for our food pantry this Thanksgiving. Especially in these troubled times, your contribution and thoughtfulness is deeply appreciated. The pantry is open to all in need in the community we serve. The members of our local St. Vincent de Paul Society and the members of the community that we serve truly owe you our heartfelt thanks for your support. You will remain in our thoughts and prayers. Again, thank you for your consideration. Donald Hodges, President of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.
One last thing,
and then
I'm going to make it short. The News Review wanted to have a capsule, a time capsule for the end of the year paper. And so Joni contacted me the earlier part of last week. And yesterday, Maxine and I, over the phone, jotted down things that happened with our church starting in January to present. And what they wanted, they're reaching out to organizations and churches and everything in the Wallace Orchard area. And they wanted a time capsule, and they're going to put it together. It'll be called the time capsule, basically. But anyway, Maxine and I started in January and went to now, and we jotted down so that we would be included in the time capsule. And I sent it to Joni yesterday, because she's trying to put it together yesterday and today, because they have a big issue, evidently, with everything. So we will be in the paper again. But it will be, our church will be included in the time capsule.
All right, let's close up the door.
Very good time to get some.